guest today is Amanda Lang. Amanda, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm here at the Tech Bash at the Kalahari at Pocono Manor.
Yeah, it's beautiful country out here.
It is nice.
We're getting some really rainy weather, but it's an all-indoor facility, so we don't have to go out in the rain. We can just look at the mountains and enjoy the indoors.
Do I live out here? Yeah, where do you live?
I live out in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, which is a couple hours away.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours south of here.
It's pretty close.
I'm actually living in Downingtown, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, and then kind of traveling back and forth between the Philly and Harrisburg regions. My evangelism area is sort of Philly, but also the surrounding areas.
What are you evangelizing these days?
A little bit of everything. I'm a big fan of HoloLens. I'm excited about that. I've done a lot of Unity in my life, so I always work with Unity Visual Studio combination. And I'm evangelizing. I'm working with Bots Framework right now. I'm working with Internet of Things, so we're doing a really cool project with Microsoft Band and Azure. And so those are my main focuses. So it's not as focused, but I have quite a few things that are sort of, that all kind of work together and talk to each other.
That's really cool. It's hard to pick one of those, but let's pick one. Let's pick Bots for
sure.
Today.
Sure. Yeah, I know. It's hard, right? I have so many things that I'm working on that I want to talk about.
What is a bot?
So a bot, we're talking about a conversation as a framework, which is like a bot, an online chat that you can converse with. You can ask it questions. It can give you feedback. It can give you answers. It can give you links to more information. And it sort of talks with you in a more conversational way and allows you to ask questions and get answers, essentially.
Give me an example of when you would use that.
So say, for example, I want to make reservations at a hotel. Instead of going to a website and typing like, you know, the city name and putting into a form, I would say, hey, hotel bot, I'd like to make a reservation for such and such a date in such and such a city. What hotels are close to where I want to go at what and are available at what time? And it could hit the internet for me and come back with results. So it's the same way that I use Cortana at home. So if I have Cortana on my Windows machine and she's got Hey Cortana active, which on my primary desktop, I leave the mic open. So I can just say, Hey Cortana, is it going to rain tomorrow? And she gives me an answer. I can write my own custom bot to handle more specific scenarios. So instead of just going out to search, maybe this bot is designed really specifically to help me with travel or help me with school or academic stuff.
Ordering a
pizza. Yeah, we had a really cool video showing the pizza bot and... this was Kat Harris.
Yep.
She's really fun. Definitely check that one out. She types a little bit of code. It's pretty easy to learn how to code the bot, actually. I was surprised. And it sort of jumps in and says, what would you like on your pizza? What toppings would you like? How much cheese? And gives you back a pizza order. And then it could call to the pizza place and order the pizza for you and have it delivered. So all those things you could... If you were, for example, running your own pizza shop, you could program that bot to be the interface so they don't have to call. They can just go onto Skype and ask the bot to make the pizza for them.
Okay. So you said it doesn't actually sound easy to build something like that, but you just said it is easy. What is it? There's a tool, right, that's making it easier.
Yeah. So I've just started experimenting with the Luis tool, and it's a luis.ai on the web, and it's an Azure machine learning-backed Microsoft tool. You basically make a Microsoft account, log in with your Azure, and then you can jump in there and ask a bunch of free queries, basically set up a conversation that you can tell it what type of questions a person is likely to ask your bot, and you can train it to recognize that natural language no matter how it's phrased. So the bot that I was playing with today is just a simple, like, find out what the weather's going to be like in a particular city, right?
Okay.
But there's a bunch of different ways that you could ask that question.
And that's where Lewis comes in.
Right, exactly. So you could ask, is it going to be cold tomorrow? And maybe it wants to know, is it going to be cold tomorrow? Where? But if it doesn't know where, it'll assume where you currently are in your location. But if you say, is it going to be cold tomorrow in Los Angeles? That's a different question. It needs to be able to parse, like, what exactly question is that person asking?
Right.
And the only way to do that is to basically say, here's a bunch of ways a person could phrase that question. I'm just going to train you on all that data and run that through machine learning algorithms so it understands the different ways that it could phrase. I think that this is really cool because I don't know if you know this, but I used to be part of, like, writing interactive fiction. And I still when I do that, I still do it sometimes.
Is this like choose your own adventure?
Yeah, like choose your own adventure. Yeah, yeah. So there's a couple different languages that people use to write interactive fictions. It's a language like Inform7, which is a really cool programming language for like kids to get started with because it's really easy and intuitive to start learning. It gets complicated when you try to do more complicated things, but it's designed to make this kind of game almost like a Zork-like game. Well, they do get more sophisticated than that, but sort of like you're in a house. Do you want to open the door? Do you want to go east? Do you want to go west?
Right.
But one of the challenges for people who play that kind of game is understanding like what it's allowed to type and what you're allowed to say to it.
Right.
Right? Because a lot of times you'll say, go, you know, to the west, and maybe the word the is going to throw it off and it's going to be confused. Right. That's called a text parser. So with something like Luis that uses machine learning, you could take the same kind of data that you would feed into a text parser and ask it very natural language questions. And instead of it being like, I don't understand the comment that you just made, like with Zork, right? You had to be really good to guess exactly which words. You won't have to do that anymore. You won't have to guess because you can basically say more or less what you want and the natural language will figure it out. And so
cool.
I'm really excited about the potential for doing something cool with that.
Yeah, I like that. Sometimes it's not just a word. My favorite way of showing off Cortana is, should I wear a jacket tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
And it knows
yeah.
that I'm asking what the weather is
right.
going to be like
tomorrow.
Right,
that's a cool like question. Like
near me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I always ask stuff like, will I need an umbrella? Is it going to rain?
Right.
You know, because it's an important thing to know. And she'll bring up the weather app and tell me, oh, no, it looks like it's not going to rain tomorrow. So, you know, that's really nice.
What about the bot part of it? Are you using the Microsoft bot framework for that?
Yeah, the bot framework is something that you can actually download and install with Visual Studio. So you can go to Visual Studio, install the bot framework, test your bots live on your PC, basically just using like a locally run web app, and then you can actually push it out to the web later. You can put your bots on Skype as well or on Slack. That was the thing I couldn't get working today, but hopefully in the future, okay. Hopefully in the future, I'll get the Slack bot working.
One thing that always confused me about bots is that when I'm interacting with a bot, I'm on a website, or I'm on Twitter, or I'm on a Slack. But that bot isn't actually running on Slack. I mean, I don't really have control over Twitter.
No.
I can't deploy things to Twitter. Where does it actually run?
It's usually living in the cloud. So it's
in the cloud.
I've
rented a spot of a piece of the cloud.
Uh-huh.
My bot's running there. And is it listening to Twitter? Is it polling Twitter? Or what's the...
Oh, it just depends on what you tell it to do.
Okay.
But most of like the ones that with Luis, you're basically just training it on only the data you feed the bot.
I see.
So it depends. You know, there's different bots that do listen like more broadly. A lot of people make bots for Twitter that are specifically like a Twitter bot that only responds to what you tweet at it, or that search all of Twitter looking for particular phrases. And if somebody, I don't know, there was an annoying bot that corrected me on a typo once. People do that. It's so obnoxious. Like, don't do that, please. But, like, you can write a bot that's like, oh, you typed this word wrong. It's supposed to be two words and not one. I'm going to fix that, you know, and tell you. So there are bots that, like, troll all of Twitter.
What is your Twitter handle, just in case somebody wants to correct your grammar?
My Twitter is Second Truth with an underline. So it's Second on the light trees. And I made an esoteric spelling mistake at one point, and a bot corrected me. It was so great and annoying. There's actually creator, Darius Kazemi, who wrote this thing that he says etiquette for Twitter bots. And it's actually a really cool article. Like basically just he writes a lot of bots and a lot of automated storytelling and a lot of automated processes and stuff like that. And Jesus, Twitter bots is kind of an art form. But he has certain things that he thinks, like, your bot should not just tweet at somebody out of the blue to tell them they're a jerk or something like that, right?
Oh, okay.
So it's better to have
banned.
It's better to have a bot that's polite and friendly and only responds to queries. So there was a really popular bot that was like a sorting hat from Harry Potter that would sort you into different houses if you tweeted something at it. You know, a little fun stuff like that, right? So as long as it's like a good conversation between you and then the bot, then it's great. And if it's like a rude conversation, and I've seen bots get into fights too.
With a bot on bot fight?
Yeah, bot on bot, where one bot will tweet at another bot and then they'll start arguing about stuff. So funny, because it never stops because they're relentless. They'll argue forever until somebody reboots one of them.
They're like the North going Zax and the South going Zax.
Yeah,
some obscure Dr. Seuss reference.
No, I get it. I get it. No, but I have seen like bots with different political ideologies will get into rows on Twitter. And it's really funny because they're fast and they never let up. You know, a human being will give up eventually, but a bot will not.
So you mentioned earlier that you're working to get the stuff out on your blog, right?
Yeah,
How is that coming as far as the bot stuff goes and the Lewis stuff? Lewis, is it Lewis or Lewis?
Lewis. It's a L-U-I-S. Language understanding is the L-U, so language understanding.
Information systems, maybe?
Uh-huh, something like that. Yeah, so it's that's actually through our Project Oxford, which is now Microsoft Cognitive Services. Right. So they're all under the Cognitive Services umbrella.
Are you writing about that now, or have you got anything published yet?
I haven't blogged about it yet. No, I should. I should definitely put something. My blog is also just secondtruth.com. I think the most recent entry is talking about some VR stuff I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I like I said, I do a lot of different things,
AR stuff
and Microsoft Mixed Reality, which I'm super excited about. All my stuff kind of has the common thread of what is very entertaining and what is cutting edge to me. And I love storytelling, and that's been a big thread in almost everything I've done in terms of how can you use technology to tell stories? So that's one of the reasons I'm excited about Bot Framework, is because you can give them personality and you can use that as kind of an author or a storyteller, and you know, use that as kind of an art piece. And it's one of the reasons I'm excited about mixed reality as well, because I think about the combinations that you can do there. Anything that's voice activated is really fun, because you know, we all use our hands for stuff, but the world is getting to the point where maybe your hands are busy or maybe you're, you know, working on something else and you want to be able to just talk to something in the room and get an answer. So that's one of the reasons I think this is all exciting.
Where can people go to get started?
For Bots Framework in particular, you can look up just Microsoft Bots Framework online. For Luis, it's real easy. It's just luis.ai, and that'll link you to all the information that you need to get started there. For cognitive services, that's microsoft.com/cognitive services. And that's got different cognitive services, including the voice recognition and the image recognition, emotion recognition, video, a lot of cool stuff there. So a couple different places you can start.
Amanda, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun. You can use technology to connect with your friends, talk to your friends, or program your own brand new friends.